Thank you, Harold. Actually, I'm not in Pembroke. I'm in Golden Lake in my home, about 35 minutes from Pembroke. We've had our own meetings. As you know, there's a 3 hour difference. And so I'm able to get back here and then be with you this afternoon. So it is my privilege. If you have a Bible, let's go back to Paul's letter to Philemon this morning. The book of Philemon, Paul's letter to Philemon. As you're finding that just before the book of Hebrews, you'll probably stumble onto Hebrews, the bigger book. Philemon may only take one page or a page and a half in your Bible. It has 25 verses. It's the story of a runaway slave who stole something from his master and then ran away. As the providence of God would have it, the sovereignty of God is in it all. There are no nobodies with God. God had a plan for this runaway slave, and he ran away some 1,200 miles or more, depending on the route that he took, only to bump into the Apostle Paul, who was in Rome in prison. Can you imagine that? And Paul had the privilege of pointing this runaway slave to the Lord. He had previously, according to the scriptures, led this runaway slave's master, his name Philemon, to the Lord. Philemon was a landowner. He owned slaves. He also had a church in his house. And after spending some time, that is, the runaway slave spending some time with the Apostle Paul writes a letter, gives it to the runaway slave. His name is Onesimus, and sends him and the letter back. You and I have a copy of that letter. It's incredible, really. After all these years, we have a copy of that letter. And we've been looking at some of the details of this letter the last few times that I've been with you. Because of time this morning, I'm not going to read the whole letter, only to say that verses 1 to 3 is a bit of an introduction and the outline that I have. Verses 4 to 7 is prayer and thanksgiving. But the last time we met together, we read verses 8 to 14. And this is a section where Paul interacts and talks to Philemon as the master of the slaves, and his evaluation of this runaway slave, Onesimus, and Paul's consideration of his friend, Philemon, who he led to the Lord sometime prior to all of this. Let me read for you again. If you have your letter of Philemon before you, let me begin reading in verse 8, noticing the word of God now. Therefore, Paul says, I thought I might be very bold in Christ to command you. He's addressing Philemon. He said, if I wanted to, as an apostle with apostolic authority, I could command you what is fitting to do. Verse 9, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Verse 10, I appeal to you, Philemon, for my son, and what he's saying here is that he's my son, a spiritual son, my son Onesimus, who I have begotten while in my chains. Let me interpret that for you, whom I led to the Lord while I was here in prison. Verse 11, speaking now of Onesimus, who once was unprofitable to you, but now profitable to you and to me. I am sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is, my own heart. whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf, Philemon, he might minister to me in my chains or while I'm in prison for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. So let's go back and look at this once again. We talked about Paul's approach. His approach to Philemon was, I could command you, I'm not going to do that. He's a good friend. Paul has led Philemon to the Lord. They're brothers in Christ. But he gives some reasons. He said, I'm not going to command you. He says, but for love's sake, I appeal, I beseech, I ask you, because of love's sake. We talked about this last week. And then he says there were a couple of things. I do this because I'm an old man. You know what? There's advantages of being old. I found out recently, I was in Walmart, and someone said, could I help you? I thought, do I look that old already? You know, like, I guess it shows, you know, a little limp here and there doesn't hurt anything either. And next thing you know, somebody volunteered to carry your groceries out. Anyhow, beside that, Paul says, I'm aged. If my calculation is right, it's about 31 years since young Paul, who was then Saul of Tarsus, gathered the coats of those who were stoning Stephen. So 31 years later, I'm an old man. I got a lot of experience, and I appeal to you because I am old. And then he says, I also appeal to you because I'm one who has, are you listening now? Suffered for Christ. Do you know the Bible says it is given to you in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer? It's a gift. It's a privilege. I don't think too many of us have suffered the way a lot of Christians are suffering in the world today, but Paul says, one who has suffered for the faith, and now he's a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Just remember, never a prisoner of Rome. He's right on time. God's train is pulling in the station, and Paul is right where he should be, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. But then look at verse 10. This is where we quit last week, or the last time I spoke to you. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus. Now, in the original language, there's a little twist to this verse. In the Greek, let me read it to you in English, how it would appear in order in the original text. Paul says, I appeal to you for my son, whom I have begotten while in my chains, comma, Onesimus. The name is last in the text. You see, up until this point, I don't even know if Philemon has even picked up on anything about the runaway slave. And so he is surprised, delighted, shocked. I don't know what you would put as a response to that. But he says, I appeal to you because your runaway slave, now notice it in verse 11, who was once unprofitable to you is now profitable to you and to me. Now this is a little bit of play on words. You see, the name Onesimus means profitable. Huh. Well, he was anything but profitable as a slave while he was at Philemon's farm serving him. He certainly was not. I don't know what happened prior to him running away and leaving, and most likely, and we do know, he stole something from Philemon on his way out that day. But I don't know, whatever had happened, he was certainly not in the category of being useful. Now, there's another interesting thing. You see the word in verse 11, who was once unprofitable to you, but now profitable. Now, this word profitable or useful is translated in two other places in the New Testament, and only two as far as I know. If you have your Bible handy there, turn back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy, not too many pages back, two or three pages back in your Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and let's notice verse 21, 2 and 21. Now, in this context, Paul is talking about the believers who should be set apart for the Lord. That's the context. Verse 21 says this, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, that would be things mentioned in the verses before, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, and I don't know what translation you have, useful or profitable, something like that. There's our word. Okay. So if anyone is set apart, if anyone has cleansed himself, if anyone is walking with the Lord in obedience, he is sanctified and profitable or useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Then go to chapter 4, same book, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and look at verse 11. The other time this word profitable is used. Verse 11, Paul says, only Luke is with me. Get Mark. Now you might remember Mark, John Mark, Mark's mother, Mary, in the book of Acts. They were having the prayer meeting when Peter was in prison in her house. You remember that? This is John Mark, who went on a missionary journey with Paul and Silas and other ones and Barnabas. You remember there was a falling out and Paul and Barnabas separated? Well, about 10 years have passed. Paul says to Timothy, only Luke is with me. Get Mark. 10 years later, get Mark and bring him with you, for he is, there's our word, profitable to me for the ministry. Now, I pause here just for a moment because there are three contexts in which this word profitable is used. The first one we read in Philemon verse 11. And let me suggest that the context here is salvation makes us profitable. He got saved. Paul led him to the Lord. He writes to Philemon and he said, you know that slave that wasn't useful for you at all? Well, he's useful now. You know, he was unprofitable. You know, his name means profitable. Well, guess what? He's now living up to his name. It's an amazing story. Christ is in the life-changing business. Do you know that we have a name? I'm not exactly sure what the Lord's going to call me. He might just call me Joe. As far as I know, that'd be okay with me. But my point is this, I was once, as an unbeliever, unprofitable to the Lord. But now I'm profitable. Oh, not me because I'm good, because I happen to be a preacher or I love the Lord. No, not that. It's because Jesus has made me profitable. There are no nobodies with the Lord. If you know anybody you're praying for that's not a Christian, and you're praying for them, for their salvation, let me tell you this, God already has a plan for their life. He already knows that if that person by grace and through faith trusts his son Jesus, he's known them since conception, Psalm 139. He's got a plan for their life, and they may be very unprofitable right now, not useful for anything for the Lord, but they are going to be profitable because creation in Christ, born again, saved by grace to the family of God, makes us profitable because it's Christ in us now doing the work. And so in this case, in this context, the word is used in salvation to make one profitable. But then we read in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21 that a Christian now whose life is set apart for God. Now we know positionally we are set apart to God. You're not who you were. Let me tell you that positionally. You were a sinner separated from God. But because you've trusted in the Lord Jesus, you are now in Christ. You're not in your sin anymore. And our responsibility as a Christian, are you listening now? Is to live up to that position. I'm a new creation. Old things are passed away. I got a wonderful future ahead of me. And the Lord wants me in my daily life to honor him, to obey his word, which sets me apart. He said to his disciples, or to the Father in John chapter 17 about his disciples, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So you read the Bible, you study the Bible, you obey the Bible, and guess what happens? You get set apart, not positionally. Salvation did that for you, the grace of God. But you get set apart practically. You get set apart in everyday life. Do you know that you should live more like a Christian today than you did yesterday? Did you know that? It is a growing thing. Holiness is something we grow in. Sanctification is something we grow in. We ought to be more holy today than we were yesterday. We ought to be more sanctified today than we were yesterday. And so in that context, we understand we are profitable. We're fit for the Lord's use. Now, why do I say that? In the Old Testament, let me tell you something. If you're going to serve the Lord, there's a lot of regulations. A lot. In the New Testament, there's one that makes you qualified for the Lord's use, and that's Christ. But as Christians, we are bound to obey his word, to honor his word, to live out every day in his word. And as you do that, you grow in holiness. You grow in sanctification. So as I deny those things by the strength and courage and grace of God that I shouldn't do, as I embrace those things that the Lord has before me, I'm sanctified. Are you listening? I'm sanctified and fit or useful for the Lord's work. So fit for one another. Paul said to Philemon, he wasn't very profitable to you or me, but now he is fit for one another. Salvation does that. Fit for the Lord's use. And then in 2 Timothy 4 and 11, Paul said, you remember that young whippersnapper called Mark, John Mark? You remember he got cold feet? You remember he got afraid and he departed? He left us on the missionary journey, caused a big disturbance. Well, guess what? Barnabas took some time with him, took about 10 years with him, discipled him, encouraged him, helped him develop. And Paul said, Because of spiritual growth, he is now fit for the ministry. I just find this rather encouraging. Salvation makes us fit. Sanctification makes us fit. And growth and maturity makes us fit. And by the grace of God, we are profitable. Okay. Now, before I, time is going on. Anyone ever say to you, "How you doing?" Or "How you doing today?" Or something like that? I most often respond by saying, "Better than I deserve." And they go, "What?" And I said, "Well, better than I deserve." And then very kind people often say something like this, "Oh, you deserve everything." And I said, "Whoop, wait a minute. Did you ever read your Bible?" I would respond to them. And they go, "Well, you know, probably the answer is no, but they don't want to say that. So, well, kind of, or something, you know." And I said, "Well, if you ever read your Bible, you know that all are sinners, and sinners are separated from God, and we're going to have to spend eternity separated from God. That's what we deserve in the Bible. But the good news is Christ died for our sins and rose again to give us salvation." And I said, "I accepted God's plan of salvation, and I'm better than I deserve." And they go, "Whatever, you know, that's kind of the way they go." But listen to me, that's the truth, isn't it? We are better than we deserve. We don't deserve salvation. We don't deserve grace. We don't deserve mercy. And if we look at this story of Onesimus, the runaway slave, I think we could almost put our name in there. By the grace of God, I can say Joe was unprofitable, but now is profitable. Profitable because the Lord saved me. Profitable because by the grace of God, I'm walking with the Lord. I'm not just enduring, but I'm growing in my faith. And I'm now profitable for the ministry. And listen, that's not just people who are missionaries. Get that out of your head. Every Christian is a servant of the Most High God. It's the highest calling. Whether you're a stay-home mom or a working mom, whether you're retired or whether you're 15 or 150, it doesn't matter. Christ is the answer, and he makes you profitable for him, profitable for one another, profitable for the ministry. And I'm trusting today we all learned something from a runaway slave about how we stand before a holy and a righteous God. Delighted to be with you. Let's close in prayer. Father, in your mercy, would you speak to us afresh and show us how blessed, how encouraged we should be today to know that we're in the family of God, accepted in the beloved, and useful and profitable for the Lord's work. In Jesus' name, amen.